Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio. Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Imagine sitting in your friend's living room surrounded by laughter, good company, and the innocent giggles of a child. Everything feels completely normal until you notice that the child, barely a year old, is staring off into space, holding his arm out as if someone or something is reaching back to him. It's nothing at first, just a baby's whimsy, right? But what if it happens again, and then again? Each time more pronounced, each time more chilling. What would you do when the child starts calling out a name, one that belongs to someone who's been gone for years? That's what today's story is about. It starts with an innocent family visit, but quickly spirals into a series of events that will make you question whether our loved ones really leave us or if they might be lingering, watching, waiting. A child starts to giggle at the air, a name is spoken that shouldn't be known, and a chill seeps into the room that no one can explain. Are we talking about a child's innocent imagination? Or is there something much deeper, more terrifying at play? And when you finally realize who or what is playing with the child, will you be able to sleep soundly knowing they might never leave? Dear Tony, I've never shared this story publicly before, but I feel like your show is the right place. It's one of those events that sticks with you, gnaws at your thoughts late at night when everything else is still. This isn't just about me. It's about my friend Anna and her son Ron. I'll warn you now, this story has its sweet moments, but the sweetness is tangled up with something else. Something far darker. Let me take you back to May 28th, 2011. It was a Saturday, and a group of us had planned to visit this beautiful Hindu temple just outside of Toronto. My friends Anna, Mary, and Matt were all coming with me, and of course Anna's son Ron was joining us too. He was still just a baby, not even 1 year old yet. We were all excited to get out of the house and do something different, and it started out as just that, a normal day with friends. When we arrived at Anna's place to pick her and Ron up, I noticed something strange. Ron, strapped into his little car seat, was staring at one particular spot in the room. It wasn't just the gaze of a baby who's exploring the world. This was different. His little arm was stretched out, almost like he was waiting for someone to pick him up. But there was no one there. At first, I didn't think much of it. Kids have their quirks. But he started giggling like something was playing with him, and that's when the hair on the back of my neck stood up. I pointed it out to Mary and Matt, and Mary looked at me with this worried expression. "Yeah, I've seen him do that before," she said. "It's been happening for a couple of weeks now, but I figured it was just baby stuff." Anna came downstairs, all smiles, completely unaware of the little scene playing out. When we told her what Ron was doing, she admitted that she had noticed it too. "He does it a lot, actually," she said, trying to laugh it off. But there was this hint of unease in her voice, like maybe she didn't want to admit that it was bothering her too. We brushed it aside for the moment. We were all too focused on the trip to really dig into the weirdness, so we piled into Matt's car, and off we went. The day at the temple was beautiful. We took in the architecture, the art, the culture. It was exactly what we needed. But that feeling of unease crept back in on the ride home. We stopped by my place to show Ron to my parents, and then we headed back to Anna's. That's when things really started to get strange. And then when we walked into Anna's house, Ron immediately started giggling again, his eyes fixed on a random corner of the room just like before. Only this time his giggles turned into words, or at least as close to words as a baby can manage. He looked straight at that empty spot and said, "Lolo." For those who don't know, in Filipino culture, Lolo means grandfather. At first, I thought nothing of it. Maybe he was just babbling, testing out sounds, but then it hit me. Anna's father-in-law, Ron's actual Lolo, wasn't even in the house. He had gone out earlier and hadn't returned yet. The only people there were us, and I hadn't seen anyone else. I called out to Anna in the kitchen, asking if her father-in-law had come back. She peeked around the corner and shook her head. "No, he's still out. Why?" "Well," I said, "Ron just said Lolo." I could see the confusion flash across her face. She shrugged it off, saying Ron was probably just repeating a word he had learned, but it wasn't just that. It didn't feel random. There was something intentional behind it, like Ron wasn't just repeating sounds. He was talking to someone. And then clear as day, Ron said, "Dante Lolo." That's when the atmosphere in the room changed completely. I felt a coldness wrap around me, almost like a draft had swept through the room, but the windows were shut. It was a deep, bone-chilling cold that seemed to settle in my chest. I shivered, and Mary shot me a look. "What's wrong?" she asked. "I don't know, I just felt something," I said, trying to shake it off. Anna glanced nervously at the fan in the corner, but I knew that wasn't it. This cold didn't feel like a breeze. It felt heavy. I didn't want to alarm Anna, but something inside me was screaming that this wasn't just a baby's innocent babbling. So I decided to ask Anna a simple question. "What's your father-in-law's name?" I asked her casually, though my heart was pounding in my chest. She paused for a moment. "It's not Dante," she replied, furrowing her brow. The silence that followed was thick with tension. Mary, standing beside Anna, went pale. I could see the realization creeping into her expression. She knew exactly who Dante was, and when she finally spoke, her voice was barely above a whisper. "Dante, that's Anna's father." Anna's father, the one who had passed away when she was just 12 years old. The one Ron had no way of knowing, no way of ever hearing about. The one he had just called out by name. The cold feeling deepened. My heart raced as the reality of what Ron had said began to sink in. How could he have known? There was no explanation, at least none that made sense. I could see the panic rising in Anna. She tried to play it off, but I could tell the fear was there. It was in her eyes, in the way she fidgeted with her hands. And honestly, I was scared too. Mary and I stayed quiet for the rest of the visit. There was this unspoken agreement between us that we wouldn't bring it up in front of Anna again. She was already on edge, especially since becoming a mother. And the thought of her dead father hanging around, well, I don't think she could handle it. We ended the day with forced smiles and polite goodbyes, but something had changed. That house didn't feel right anymore. Every shadow seemed darker, every creak of the floorboards felt ominous, and Ron just kept giggling, his little eyes dancing with delight as he stared at that empty space, and Tony, it didn't end there. I thought maybe it would stop, that maybe Ron's giggling and calling out Dante's name was just a fluke, but things only got stranger. Anna called me a few days later, her voice shaky. She said that Ron had started doing it again, pointing to the same spot, saying, "Dante Lolo," and giggling like he was playing with someone. By this time, I couldn't shake the feeling that Dante wasn't just a memory in their family. I believed he had come back to visit. Maybe he wanted to meet his grandson. Maybe he wanted to look out for Anna, like he had promised before he died. But whatever his reason, it was clear that Ron could see him, and we couldn't. The story ends on a quiet note. Anna eventually called a priest to bless the house, hoping to give her father some peace. We never really talked about what happened after that. I think Anna was too scared to bring it up again, and honestly, so was I. But I can't help but wonder, was it really Dante? Did he come back for one last visit to see his daughter and grandson? Or was it something else, something darker hiding behind the innocent face of a child. So what really happened here? What are we supposed to make of a child not even old enough to speak full sentences, calling out the name of a grandfather he never met, a name he shouldn't even know? Was this a loving family member reaching out from beyond the grave, or is there something else, something more complex at work? Stories like this one tap into a deep, ancient part of our psyche. We want to believe that our loved ones stay with us, even after they've passed. It's comforting to think that, in moments of hardship or change, they might be watching over us, guiding us, maybe even playing with a child who never had the chance to meet them in life. The idea that Dante, a father who was deeply connected to Anna, could be looking after his grandson, Ron, that's the kind of thing that gives us hope. It suggests that love is more powerful than death, but as with all paranormal experiences, there's a duality here. With hope comes fear, and with love comes the unknown. From a paranormal perspective, there are several possibilities to consider here. The most obvious is that this is a classic case of a familial spirit visitation. In many cultures, it's believed that spirits of the deceased sometimes linger to watch over their families, especially when there is unfinished business or when a new life enters the world. Ron, being so young, may have been more open to the spiritual realm. Children are often thought to be more perceptive to spirits because their minds haven't yet been clouded by skepticism or the constraints of adult logic. Ron was innocent, and perhaps that made him a perfect conduit for Dante to make his presence known. His giggling, his calling out of Dante Lolo, could very well have been his way of interacting with a spirit that only he could see. But let's dig a little deeper. Could there be more to this than a simple ghost story? When we think about children, especially ones as young as Ron, their minds are incredibly impressionable. It's entirely possible that Ron heard the name Dante at some point, maybe in a hushed conversation between adults that he wasn't even aware of. Children pick up on things in ways we often don't realize, and their ability to store and later recall words or names is sometimes eerie in its own right. Could it be that Ron heard the name in passing, maybe even subconsciously, and then repeated it while playing in the house? It's an explanation that certainly fits the mold of a psychological occurrence, since then there's the possibility of projection. The adults in this story, Anna, Mary, and the narrator, were already primed to see something unusual. When Ron began acting strangely, their minds may have filled in the blanks. This is a well-documented phenomenon known as confirmation bias. You see what you expect to see, or, in this case, you hear what you expect to hear. When Ron started babbling, could they have been projecting the name Dante onto his baby talk? It's not impossible. We've all had moments where we think we hear something, only to realize it was our brain playing tricks on us. But that cold feeling, the chills that both Matt and the narrator experienced, that's a little harder to explain, isn't it? When we talk about paranormal experiences, especially hauntings, one of the most commonly reported sensations is that sudden drop in temperature, that bone-chilling cold that seems to come from nowhere. Paranormal researchers suggest that spirits draw energy from their surroundings to manifest, leading to a noticeable cold spot in the air. It's a hallmark of ghost stories the world over. So does this mean Dante was really there in that moment, making his presence known not only to Ron, but to the others as well? Perhaps. Or perhaps the cold was nothing more than a draft in an old house. Even in modern homes, sudden drafts or unexplained temperature changes can occur, especially if the ventilation system isn't perfect. It's easy to let our minds jump to supernatural conclusions when something as inexplicable as a sudden chill hits us. But that's often when we need to take a step back and consider the mundane explanations too. Houses creak, pipes rattle, and air flows unpredictably through old ducts. It's not as thrilling as a ghost, but it's a plausible explanation. Another layer to this story is the emotional and psychological impact that Anna's father's death had on her. Losing a parent, especially at a young age, leaves scars. Scars that sometimes we don't even realize are there. Anna had a deep bond with her father, and according to her friends, she never fully recovered from his passing. Could it be that her own unresolved grief, combined with the stress of new motherhood, opened the door to this experience? Sometimes, when we are emotionally vulnerable, we unconsciously seek signs, messages, or connections to those we've lost. Ron's behavior, strange as it was, might have been exactly what Anna needed to believe her father was still watching over her. In this sense, the paranormal experience could be more about emotional healing than a ghostly visit. And then, of course, there's the spiritual angle. If we look at this from a religious or cultural perspective, there's the belief, especially in many Asian and Latin American cultures, that the dead remain connected to the living in tangible ways. They visit, they protect, they intervene when necessary. In Filipino culture, honoring the spirits of the dead is deeply rooted in tradition, as is the belief that ancestors continue to play a role in the lives of the living. In that context, the idea of Dante watching over his only daughter and meeting his grandson for the first time doesn't just seem plausible, it seems natural. It's almost expected that a father who loved his daughter so deeply would find a way back, even for just a moment, to check on her and her new family. So where does that leave us? Is this a heartwarming tale of a grandfather returning to watch over his family? Or is it a case of a child's mind and adult projection creating something out of nothing? The truth probably lies somewhere in between. The paranormal and the psychological are often deeply intertwined, feeding off each other in ways we can't fully understand. What's undeniable is the impact this experience had on Anna, her friends, and her family. Whether real or imagined, it brought Dante back into their lives, if only for a fleeting moment. And maybe that's what really matters. What do you think? Was this a spirit reaching across the veil, or simply the mind playing tricks on a family still mourning the loss of a loved one? Maybe, just maybe, it's both. Because in the end, the lines between the living and the dead aren't always as clear as we'd like to believe. I'm Tony Bruschi, and if you want more true scary stories like this one, press subscribe. We're dropping new episodes every single day, and trust me, the stories only get stranger from here.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at IPVanish.com/audio.